Chapter 5. The Simplest Truth. Jean-François looked toward Gabriel, eyebrow raised. The Silver Saint was still as a statue, wine bottle in hand, scars cutting down his cheek like twin teardrops. It had been more than a year since I'd set eyes on him, he finally said. But every time I closed them, I saw his face. Hundreds of nights had passed since we'd spoken a word, but in every one I heard his voice. Thou art a lion, playing at being a lamb, and that is why, by God, thou art abandoned, and why he hath unleashed me upon thee. His eyes were fixed on mine, though he spared a glance for each of his daughters. Alba's veins were boiled all but dry, her flesh crumbling away under my fingers like the ashes of the life he'd unmade. Aline had sunk to her knees, drained pale grey. Selene so glutted with her blood, it spilled down her chin as she swallowed.
Father, they whispered. Don't let him take us.
Release them, he commanded. And I laughed then. Actually laughed amid that slaughter, that insanity, that churning, blood-mad thresher we name war. Thrall swords were running to the aid of their mistresses now, but Phoebe had met them on the stairs, cutting them to ribbons. All around us, folk were letting slip their final breaths, calling for their mamas, for their beloveds, for the god who didn't care a drop about any of it. And I stared into Fabienne's eyes as I sank my fingers deeper into Alba's throat, feeling her flesh running to dust as she screamed again.
Loss undreamed of shalt thou suffer, Gabriel, if thou shalt stay not thy hand.
The Forever King bared his fangs, voice trembling with fury.
Poor fool, ye know not what ye do.
Those eyes bored into mine. That mind crashed upon me, all the weight of the time and rage and hatred behind it pressing me down into the stone. But I pictured my sweet Patience's face, felt my Astrid's arms enfold me, and I was unbreakable. I know I'm taking away something you care about, I spat, eyes locked on his. How does it feel to lose something you love, bastard?
The same shall I ask thee, when Dior La Chance lies cold in her grave, and all hope of salvation is lost.
Fabienne glanced to Selene then, my sister's mouth still locked on Alain's throat as she drank, desperate and groaning. I could hear the Ancien Ironheart's soul hung by but a thread now, terrible fear and awful bliss in her gaze as my sister swallowed her whole. I swore I saw tears shining in Fabienne's eyes, boiling with the venom on his tongue.
Look at it, he hissed. Abomination, anathema. The faithless were a plague, Gabriel, driven by madness and hubris and deceit. None upon this earth are more deserving of the hell we gifted them.
He shook his head then, bleeding gaze falling back on me.
With truest evil hast thou made thy bed, old friend.
I shook my head then, almost speechless.
You dare speak to me of evil?
I looked back down to Alba, trembling in my grip. Black tears were welling from her molten eyes, that old familiar terror bubbling up in her voice as she tried to beg, to plead. And the thing of it was, I'd seen all this before. Countless monsters put to the grave, ever the hero they raised me to be, past all the bluff and bluster, all the thees and thous. In that final moment, you all beg like children, historian. Gabriel glared at his sister across the river then. And you die like dogs.
Please, it breathed. Father, save me.
And then it was gone. Obliterated. Annihilated. All the centuries crashing back into the void where it had lain beneath me, blasted now to char and ashes. I saw the Forever King flinch as Alba died, as if my hand had struck him. And rising from his daughter's ruins, I flew at him then, seizing his throat, fingers digging into rotten, freezing flesh. As I dragged it up off the battlements, I knew this wretched thing wasn't anything close to Fabienne. Only a puppet of meat he rode to torment me. But still, I prayed with all I had inside me that at least he felt the pain as I began boiling the blood from its veins. "You murdered my wife," I spat. "You butchered my baby. Everything I ever loved you took from me. And I swear by all I am and will ever be, you will burn in hell for what you've done." I spat into his face, hate boiling on my tongue. "And I will see you there." The dead thing hissed, and it seemed that, he did feel pain. Black blood boiling as it rolled down my arm, eyes filling with bloody tears as my aegis burned him blind. But still, Fabienne remained in that body, enduring the agony so he might gift me one last barb.
"Thy famille I slew. Blood for blood, the rule, we knew it both. And so might it be that one night thou shalt deliver me below. Verily, part of me still prays for it, old friend. But shall ye muster the same rancor for that thing behind thee, I wonder? Nurse the same malice. For the blood of thy famille stains also thy sister's hands, Gabriel.
You're a fucking liar. Dead tongues heeded.
Aye. He smiled, eyes bubbling. But Selene Castilla was born of my line, Silver Saint. How comes it an iron heart wields the power of the faithless? She is only a fledgling in the tally of her years. How cometh the power of an ancien wells within her veins?
I turned towards Selene, still latched onto Alain's throat, swallowing the last dregs from her veins, her power, her soul, her blood gifts with it. My sister's bloody eyes drifted now to mine, Fabienne's voice fading in my mind.
Poor Wulfric.
The body in my hands shivered once, his whisper echoing in my head.
Ask her how he died, de Leon.
He collapsed into dust, blown apart on the wind.
Then ask who it is ye should be serving.
Alain screamed, her body bucking, fingers curling into claws as the beast inside her struggled to cling on to something, to anything. And with a final choking wail, the terror burst apart into a shower of ashes, snatched from Selene's arms and torn away on the storm. My sister knelt in the remainder, head thrown back, arms wide, black dust swirling all around her. And I saw it then, just as I'd seen at Aveline. The awful wound at her throat and chin had lessened, muscles restitching onto bone, skin thickening on her ruined flesh. "By this blood," she breathed, "shall we have life eternal?"
"We," I realized. "We."
"You killed him,"
I whispered. Phoebe shouted my name, raw with triumph. The foul bloods and Vos soldiers were breaking with their mistresses slain, the Highlanders rallying, Bryn roaring over the carnage. Selene's eyes flickered to me, and I saw their shade had deepened even closer to the brown they'd once been, the knowledge settling on my shoulders like dust. But she denied nothing, and I knew it true then. "You drank my father." There in the cell beneath Sul Adair, the last Silver Saint and the last Laethi stared at each other, across those dark and treacherous waters. The saint's eyes were clouded, storm grey, the whites stained deepest red. But the Laethi's were pure black, flooded to the edges, dark and bottomless as the river rushing between them. Jean-Francois glanced from one sibling to the other, the air between dripping with hatred. And in that uncomfortably heavy silence, The historian cleared his throat and spoke.
What of the Grail? What was happening at the Dune during all this?
Brother and sister glowered at each other for an age before either spoke. It's a strange thing to be a sibling. So much rancor and love, hate and history. It's a bond forged in iron, that tie. It takes a great deal of work to sunder it entirely, but it can be done.
On the battlements, Gabriel growled. We'd no eyes now. I only know what happened from those who survived it. Some Divok had broken as the dancers and saints tore them up, fleeing toward their fleet in the bay, living to fight another night. But around Nikita, all was storm and fury, the vampire clashing on the battlements with the mortal brother he'd nurtured, tortured, carved of stone. His duel with Lachlan was terrifying, I know that. A battle for poets to write about, minstrels to sing about, black heart against silver saint, brother against brother. All around them run to dust and ruin. But down in the wreckage of Ultun, Baptiste was on his last legs. He'd saved Aaron's life when he held them both off the battlements, but the impact to the flagstones below hadn't done him much good. His arm was already broken, his ribs now cracked too. Though Aaron had been disarmed by Lachlan, he'd fetched a great axe from among the wreckage, big enough to take a man's head off his shoulders. And that seemed his intent as he pursued a limping Baptiste through the ruins of Neve's city. Baptiste was calling to his beloved as he fled, still desperately trying to break the spell of Nikita's blood. In the midst of all that carnage and horror, he told stories of joy and sorrow and all things between. The little moments two people who shared a life knew as well as their own names. The time Baptiste made a bouquet of flowers out of scrap iron for Aaron's Saint's Day. The night they settled in Avalyn, and the terrible argument they'd had over who would carry who to the hearth. But it was when Baptiste spoke of their youth in Saint-Michel, there came a glimmer of hope.
You were training in the gauntlet, the Black Thumb called, running the scythe over and over. And I was setting up a new obstacle for the ska, remember?
Aaron snarled with frustration, pursuing his quarry through a broken, roofless estate. Baptiste twisted backward from a blow, maul raised in defense, desperate now.
I suspected you might be watching me.
The big man somehow smiled, parrying the strike and stumbling backward.
From the corner of your eye. So, I took off my shirt to test the theory, and you got caught by one of the spars, remember?
Aaron stumbled at that, axe raised for a blow that never fell.
You almost broke your jaw,
Baptiste grinned, chest heaving.
Remember?
The pair stood in the falling snow and ash now, 20 feet apart, across the rubble and ruin. A stillness had come upon them amid that chaos, the spell of Baptiste's words, and while Aaron's eyes still burned, they blazed not with rage now, but memory.
You laughed at me, he whispered. I did, and then I warned you to look after your face.
Aaron's lip curled, the tiniest fraction.
I asked, what was wrong with my face?
Baptiste's voice softened, smile fading, and daring to hope, he took one small step closer to his love.
I told you it was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen.
Aaron was stood in the snow now, golden hair tossed in the roaring winds. The battle was deafening, but all was silent as his great axe trembled, then slipped from his fingers, my friend looking down at his bloody hand as if it were not his own.
And then, you kissed me, he breathed. I knew you were mine then,
Baptiste said, stepping closer still,
and I, yours, that nothing would ever part us. I remember like it was yesterday. Do you remember, love? I...
Aaron blinked hard, blood welling in his lashes.
I...
A black shape plummeted from the sky, landing between them with a crack of thunder. The flagstone split, Baptiste crying out as he was slammed backward, dropping his silver steel and crashing into the estate's wrought iron fence. And as the snow and stone powder cleared, there, in the remnants, crouched Nikita.
His greatcoat was ripped and spattered, his left arm missing at the bicep. His chest and shoulder and belly were cleaved to the bones, but his blade was drenched in the blood of the brother he'd bested. Lachlan lay in the rubble beneath him, shattered, barely breathing, his aegis only a sputtering silver sheen through the ash and blood smeared upon his skin. Rising up from his brother's ruin, Nikita spat blood on the broken stones.
"Weak," he hissed.
The Black Heart looked about him then, dead eyes falling first on Aaron, then on his beloved, still crumpled against a tangle of wrought iron. And with a cold smile curling his lips, Nikita reached down and closed his hand around Baptiste's throat. "They ran through the dune," Selene whispered, "Rain and Dior. The Grail's shredded leg dripping blood, the princess's shoulder bitten to the bone, her mother's blade hanging limp in one red hand. Dior begged Rain, stop, stop. And breathless, she pressed her hand to the older girl's torn shoulder. The bite wound stitching closed by the power of her holy blood. They could hear the song of ringing horns and soaring pipes outside, but hope yet seemed a thousand miles distant. And so they ran on, Rain half-dragging, half-carrying Dior, both gasping for breath as they reached that little sitting room. The lady, Amergen, twisted the candelabrum, whispering a prayer of thanks as the bookshelf slid open. They stumbled through, down the tumbled corridor toward sanctuary, turning now as a shadow swelled at their back. Whispering footsteps and winter's chill, Lily flashing down the tunnel toward them. She still wore her dented breastplate, the steel spattered with Kiara's ending, eyes as deep as midnight. She'd have taken them, I think, save for that sensation we also felt. That holy outrage bearing down from the sacred ground of the cathedral above, pressing on Lily's shoulders, stumbling her pace. As it was, the girls only barely made it to their sanctuary, slicked with sweat and blood, tumbling as they tripped over the threshold together and into the tomb beneath the holy sepulchre. My moat had been left behind, torn from Dior's skin as she crossed onto holy ground. But as that red sliver of us fluttered to the flagstones, I was comforted to know that if we could not cross, Lily could not either. The heartless brought to a hissing halt at that great ironwood door, the mother maid's graven likeness, fangs bared in a snarl. They were safe. Rain dragged Dior backward, the floor slicked red beneath them, the Grail's leg torn and bleeding. Ripping her homespun hem, the princess bound the Grail's wounds tight, staunching the blood as best she could as Dior hissed in pain. "Ye cannot run from me, worm." Rain glanced up at that, face spattered red, mismatched eyes alight. Lily lurked on the threshold, glowering at the princess she'd enslaved, beaten, humiliated. "I don't need to run," Rain spat, teeth bared in triumph. "We'll just sit here on holy ground till the Black Lion arrives and applaud once he's done with you."
"Cowering in the dark," Lily sneered, "just as ye did when we took this city, when we butchered thy mighty dam and all her vaunted flock. Poor worm, ever the ill-favoured, the unwanted."
Black eyes drifted to the bloody sword in Rain's grip.
"Wretch's hands clutching a liar's blade. The bastard daughter of a legend failed."
That black gaze sharpened, pinning Rain to the floor.
"But still I shall grant thee mercy if ye give her unto me. I offer thee one chance. Serve me, as ye once did, and I shall spare thee what is coming."
"And what is coming?" Rain scoffed, dragging herself to her feet. "An army of Highlanders, a legion of soldiers you tried to enslave, the hero who slew your father."
"Hell is coming, bitch,"
Dior vowed, rising beside Rain, "for you." Lily's eyes roamed the tomb's threshold, the ironwood door, the mother maid's etching, encircled by that halo of runes.
"Educated in Eladane, were you not, bastard, by the holy sisters of Evangeline?"
Midnight eyes fell on Dior.
"And thee, little horse-spawn, can ye read at all?
The fuck does that have to do with anything? The Grail spat.
Don't listen. Rain squeezed Dior's hand. She's nothing but a liar, love.
A liar? Aye,
Lily nodded. But more besides. A murderess, a monstress, but a priestess too. Knew ye that? My mother was a holy woman of the Moon's Throne. She read true tales from tablets of stone, augured in entrails of beasts, saw futures in stars above. Oh, I remember stars, girls, she whispered, looking upward. So many in skies of yester-eve, to count them was to drive thyself mad. Intended was I to follow in mother's footsteps, afore mighty Toliev took me for his own. But before my dark maker tore my heart out, my mother taught me to read, sweetlings. Those stones, those entrails, and of course, the tongue of Oswe Old.
Lily reached out to that ironwood door, caressing the runes about the Mother Maid's head. Speaking in a whisper, a snatch of scripture from the Book of Vows, the very same that had adorned the threshold at Kernheim.
Enter and be welcome, those who seek forgiveness in the light of the Lord.
Oh God, Rain whispered.
Lily's midnight eyes fell on the Grail.
An invitation, that reads to me.
Oh shit, Dior breathed.
I knew not how this would play, nor, I think, did the Heartless herself. No kith could set foot on hallowed earth nor enter a home unasked. But to be invited onto sacred ground by the word of God himself, how might that measure in the end?
Lily closed her eyes, face upturned to the heavens as she whispered,
Forgive me, Father, for I must sin.
And fixing those girls in her endless gaze, Lily stepped into the tomb.
Gabriel!
The last silver saint looked at his empty bottle, wiped his mouth across his sleeve.
That was the scream I heard, rising on the winds.
We were stood on the bloody gatehouse, Alba scorched to dying at my feet, Alain drunk to ashes at Selene's. I looked at my sister, seeing the truth of the Forever King's words in her eyes. Now it made sense why she'd been released into the world with no true knowledge of what Dior needed to do. Now I understood why she knew so little about the cult she belonged to. She'd killed her teacher, stolen his power for her own before he'd taught her all he could have. Her teacher. My father. And she'd never told me.
And why would I?
The Liathi demanded, glowering now from across the river.
Why would I think you'd care a drop for the monster who cared not a drop for you?
I didn't, Gabriel replied. I don't. But that's not the fucking point. It was one more lie, Selene. One more straw on the gelding's back. And it might have broken then and there to know that all my little hellion seemed to be made of now was deceit. But you looked toward the dune then, eyes filled with fear.
Dior needs us now.
And that was it. No breath to waste on rage, no time for accusation. For the last year, every night I lay down to sleep, I'd heard their voices. My beautiful wife, my baby girl, walking yet upon this earth they rotted in, choking on the thought I'd failed them. If not for the girl in that keep, I knew I'd now be dead. My life spent in pointless struggle against the Forever King or drowned at the bottom of a bottle. Dior had shown me there was something yet to believe in. And though we were flame and powder, fire and ice, I knew I could love her no more dear than if she were my own. Sometimes, famille is more than blood, vampire. And when all is said and done, when the cheering stops and the music fades, when the stories they tell about you drift into silence, and the songs they sing are stolen by the lonely winter wind, a man is left with the simplest of truths.
What truth, Gabriel? Jean-Francois murmured.
That there is nothing that grows as deep on this green earth, nothing that shines as bright in all the gables of heaven, nothing that burns as fierce in the blazing heart of hell, than a parent's love for their child.
The last Silver Saint shook his head, tears in his eyes.
And so, I looked across that burning city toward her, through the fire and blood, the death and screams, and I lifted my blade, and I charged.
Selene stared at her brother, eyes framed by locks of raven black. But he'd looked away now, gaze lost in those waters between them, dark and churning.
They fled, she finally said, Dior and Rain. Scrambling back across the stone toward the Mother Maid's empty coffin and down those secret stairs to the vault they'd found beneath. Lily followed, stalking slow across the stone, claws dripping red. My moat at least could bear witness, and as the rest of us prayed for forgiveness, that tiny droplet took to the wing, flitting through the air behind the Contessa. Ever suspicious, Lily stopped at the edge of that shadowed stair, toe brushing the sigil of the Asana etched into the stone. Glancing upward, she saw that same motif, the twin skulls and the grail between, wrought in the mosaic above Michonne's head. We could see uncertainty in her eyes now, fear as she stood poised on that threshold, an eternity long. But the song of chaos and carnage rang deafening in the city outside, crescendo approaching, and with bloodied lips pressed thin, the heartless finally descended into the dark. It was a crypt, we realized, a crypt more ancient and elaborate than the one above. The chamber ran deep, the light dim and distant, spilling only from the lantern Rain Amergen had brought with her from the reading room above. It was sat far below now, at the bottom of a long winding stair, in the heart of a vast and frigid room. Of the princess and Grail there was no sign, but our eyes picked out details as Lily slowly descended. The space put me in mind of Genoa's chapel in Kernheim. The walls here too were circular, carved with a vast bas-relief of the Wars of the Blood. Hundreds of figures in antiquated armour were wrought there, vampire battling vampire, mortal slaying mortal. We saw the Forever King again, leading his Knights of the Blood against the faithful, a raven on his shoulder and a sword in his hand. And we knew then what this place was, who slumbered here. The room was shin-deep with dark seawater, leaked in over slow centuries, still and stagnant. From that fetid pool rose a field of tombstones, hundreds upon hundreds, filth-slicked marble arranged in concentric rings. Each stone was carved with a name, and each name was that of a slain vampire. Lisa Chastain, Reynaldo Divock, Tashir Ilon. In the very heart of them sat a stone box heavy with the slime and grime of centuries. The capstone was carved in the likeness of an angel in repose, palms pressed together, mouth open as if in song. The flickering lantern was sat upon its chest, and above, a mighty marble statue of the Redeemer hung. God's Son was nailed upon his wheel, mouth open like the angel below, as if caught in the moment he shouted his final words, his covenant to those who would build his church upon this earth after his death. By this blood, Gabriel murmured, shall they have life eternal?
But unlike other chapels in the Empire, Selene continued, here the Redeemer's statue was accompanied by five others, towering as tall as houses around that black pool. They were wrought in astonishing detail. Priests and priestesses in antiquated garb, kneeling beneath the body of God's own Son. They looked anguished, rending their robes and silently screaming. And in their open mouths we saw their canines were long and sharp. As in Genoa's chapel, a plinth stood before that coffin, an open book wrought of stained grey marble. On the left page, that same prophetic verse Chloe Sauvage had given Gabriel was etched upon the ancient stone in Old Talhostic. From holy cup comes holy light, the faithful hand sets world aright, and in the seven martyrs' sight mere man shall end this endless night. But on the right-hand page, another verse was carved,
black with time and grime, but wrought by that same ancient hand. And unlike its twin in Cairnheim, the prophecy here was whole, our wings shivering as we read those ancient sacred words. Before the five, come unto one, with sainted blade, neath virgin sun, by sacred blood, or else by none.
The last silver saint spoke then, his voice hard and cold as his eyes. This blackened veil shall be undone.
Have ye solved the riddle yet? Lily called, her voice echoing in the dark. Know ye, whore child, what thou art? What in the end this all means?
The Contessa stepped into the pool, drifting through the black like a shark. She wandered seemingly aimless, but all the while she followed the honeyed scent of Dior's blood hanging clear in the air. And stepping around the looming form of a screaming priestess, Lily lunged, ready to snatch the grail up in her bloody claws. She found nothing but a slick of blood in the brine, her flawless brow darkening. Cloth whispered above, and she glanced up to the statue. Too late. Rain Amergen, rising from the folds of that stone robe with her mother's sword in hand and Dior's blood fresh upon the blade.
Stop!
The blow fell true, hammer heavy. A princess, this child, but trained by the great Chant Lam at Montfort. The blade sliced the Contessa's face, shearing skin and muscle and bone, Lily cursing as she staggered away. Her flesh caught like tinder, the grail's holy blood turning skin and bone to ash, her scream piercing the air.
That's for Lady Arlin, Rain spat.
The princess leapt from the statue, splashing into the pool, Dior slithering down behind her. Pale blue eyes glittered like broken glass as Lily whirled and spun, tearing at her flaming skin, collapsing into the brine at her feet. Hissing, the heartless slung back a curtain of sodden hair from her face, snaking to her feet. The blaze was quenched, but the damage was terrible. Jaw dangling like a broken door. Alabaster skin burned black. Rain advanced, bloody blade cleaving the air. And though Lily raised her hand and spat a command, her face was so mangled that the whip was garbled nonsense, blood thick and gurgling.
No more orders, Dior spat. Mistress.
Rain lashed out at the Contessa's hand, and Lily shrieked as two of her fingers flew, blown to ashes before ever they struck the water. Her flesh blazed where Dior's blood kissed it, the Ancien flashing backward with preternatural speed, blackening flesh dunked into the brine to smother that holy flame.
That's for Gilly and Morgana, Rain spat.
The princess came on, all the resentment and hate at her torment of the last few months now ablaze in her eyes. Her blade sliced the air, her form fearsome. And though Lily was drenched in the power of centuries, the heartless in the end was no warrior, and unarmed besides. Lily backed away, unnerved by sight of the blood spitting and smoking upon that steel, her eyes narrowed in hatred. With the grail at her back, Rain Amergen raised her sword high, hissing through clenched teeth.
This is for me!
And with a bloody cry, the princess lunged for her foe. Gabriel leaned forward slowly, grey eyes alight. Baptiste dangled in the Black Heart's grip, the war on the battlement still raging above, Lachlan bloodied and motionless on the stone below. Nikita smiled, soulless, gazing up at the black thumb as spider to fly. Aaron stood behind his master, looking between the pair, his old lover caught in the dreadful grip of his new one. His eyes were filled with bloody tears, but his face was serene. They'd shared a life together, he and Baptiste, loved one another as fierce as any couple I've known. But love is mortal, historian. Blood is eternal.
Master,
Aaron called. The Black Heart turned, brow raised, watching Aaron sink to one knee.
Please, he said, glancing to Baptiste. Allow me to end him.
Nikita's red lips curled, midnight eyes shining. Turning back to Baptiste, he seemed to revel in the sight of all light dying in the Black Thumb's eyes. The death of love, the murder of hope. God, what a fate! To be so empty that joy might only be found in the sight of others just as bereft. What a hell! To think that which makes you care makes you weak.
I do enjoy the sight of thee on thy knees, golden one, Nikita said.
And dropping Baptiste to the stone, he offered his sword to his servant.
Show me thy heart, be mine.
Rain's blade cleaved the air, Selene said, whistling just shy of Lily's skin. The heartless was back-footed, flesh scorched, jaw ruined. But she was ancient after all, strong as mountains, never to be underestimated. And with her mother's blade anointed with the Grail's own blood, sadly, the princess did just that. Her lips split in a smile as she paused to taunt her foe, twirling the sword in her hands.
I'm going to carve your chest open, devil. See how heartless you really are.
She lunged, blade cleaving the air, Dior shouting from behind to beware. Lily slipped back through the brine, swift and serpentine, and reaching out with the best of her hands, she tore one of the tombstones from the circles, rock splintering as if it were clay. Hurling the gravestone like a spear, she sent the princess reeling sideways, the jagged marble spar whistling just shy of her head. Lily skipped backward, tearing another stone loose, hurling it like some vengeful goddess in the ancient tales. Rain lunged aside again, gasping, another stone flying at her, another, faster, another, marble splitting, cracking, booming. Dior cried warning, limping forward with eyes bright. And as Rain cursed, stumbling on a chunk of stone beneath the surface, a slab of marble the size of a wheelbarrow crashed into her chest. Bone shattered, the princess cried out, blood and brine spraying as she fell. Dior roared her name, stumbling forward on her torn leg as Lily smiled, dead eyes alight. And with ashen hair plastered to sweat-slick skin, the Grail scooped up Rain's fallen sword from the water. Wounded as she was, Dior had still been trained by the Black Lion, and, dancing the north wind, she struck. Belly, chest, throat, repeat. But the nine sword's blade had fallen into the brine as Rain did, Dior's blood washed from its edge. And as it bit into Lily's flesh, near harmless, the Heartless seized Dior's throat in one black claw. Lifting her high, Lily smashed Dior backward into one of the mighty statues, a screaming priest with a raven on a chain at his throat. Dior's palm had been sliced open to wet Rain's blade, and she clawed toward Lily's ruined face. But the Contessa was the swifter, seizing her wrist, hissing as dead flesh smoked on Dior's bloodied skin. The Grail gasped as she was slammed back into the statue again, skull cracking, gorge rising. She managed one last stab of defiance, biting her tongue and spitting a mouthful of blood into Lily's face. The Contessa screamed, flesh burning, reaching into her bodice for that golden dagger. And, raising it high, she slammed it through Dior's palm and into the stone behind. Dior wailed. Lily stumbled back, her face afire. She fell again into the brine, the flames extinguished with a blistering hiss. Staggering to her feet, dripping and bloodied, the Contessa reached up to her mauled features, snarling as she fixed her jaw back in place. What was once the visage of a goddess was now a horror. Flesh burned back to bone. But her lips were twisted in an awful smile as she whispered in that dark,
So too the spring cull to the lamb, or the wolf's teeth to the doe.
Dior moaned in agony. Her left hand was pinned, the dagger driven so deep into the statue that the hilt had crushed her bones to pulp. The pain must have been breathtaking, but still she struggled to wrench herself free, holy blood flooding red and bright over her skin. And as she wailed, thrashed, she saw again, as she had seen in the tomb above, that blood spilling down her arm, over her fingers. That blood was moving. She understood not what it meant, nor how it might be mastered, but still, she knew it was fire to her foe. And so, tears spilling down her cheeks, She stretched her red and dripping hand toward Lily and bid that blood obey.
Move, she hissed. Move, it did. Her breath catching now, pale blue eyes gone wide as the droplets at her fingertips shivered.
Lily stepped back, eyes narrowed, fearing some new spell. But though Dior's blood shivered at the tips of her outstretched fingers, trembling as if the walls were shaking and the world was ending, that was all it did. Nothing but tremble.
Move,
Dior wailed. Lily smiled, emboldened now, malice twisting her mutilated features. She stooped, snatching up the fallen princess like a sack of rags. Rain screamed in pain, arm and shoulder snapped, broken bones grinding as she was hauled skyward, dangling now in Lily's cold claws. And reaching out with her smallest finger, Lily pressed soft upon Rain's chest, splintering a dozen of her ribs.
No! Dior roared. Don't hurt her!
Rain was struggling, breath hissing through her teeth, clutching the hand, throttling the life from her with her one good arm. Lily squeezed gently upon Rain's wrist, shattering it like glass as the princess screamed.
Stop!
Dior roared. The Heartless turned to Dior, Rain crying out as her spine creaked in that awful grip. The vampire's voice was gargling, glottal, her jaw burned wreckage. But still her hiss carried, knife sharp, echoing in that gloom beneath the Redeemer's cold gaze.
Beg me. Please,
Dior cried.
Please, stop.
Louder.
Please, don't hurt her, don't. Dior,
Rain whispered.
Don't.
And their eyes met then, across that dark water. Those two girls with so little time given to them, now come to the end of it. The truth plain for both to see.
She's going to kill me anyway.
The princess gasped as Lily squeezed tighter, cutting off her voice. Dior screamed in horror, in rage, watching Rain kicking and choking in Lily's grip. Lily's eyes were fixed on the princess's, cold and black. The gaze of a shark closing in on a drowning swimmer, mouth slipping wide to reveal endless rows of jagged teeth.
We are the strong,
Lily gurgled. She drew Rain closer, the girl gasping her last breath.
Thou art the
A shape flew from the darkness, a blur of hard white and gleaming red. It crashed onto Lily's back, sinking teeth into her neck. Lily screeched and dropped Rain, lashing out with a backhand that sent the shape flying into the tombstones behind. It smashed through half a dozen graves with the dull crack of splintered stone, crashing into the water before twisting to its feet, blue eye narrowed as it snarled.
Prince,
Dior breathed. Phoebe cried my name as I charged toward the Dun, Gabriel said, but I paid no heed at all. And rather than leave me to fight alone, she charged with me. The Highlanders too, one and all, leaving the bloodied remnants of the Vos legions to flee the field, roaring as we flooded through the Newton streets, back toward Olton. There, in the ruins of a noble-born house, Nikita Divok stood, wreathed in ash and snow. Aaron had climbed to his feet, eyes on Baptiste. The Black Thumb was on his knees, mute and heartbroken, as Aaron took up his master's sword. Nikita smiled at his dark lover, watching the last of Aaron's heart wither and die in his chest. And Aaron raised Epitaph high over his head, looking Baptiste in the eye as he whispered,
I remember.
Aaron swung Epitaph with all his might. And if this were a children's tale, historian, he'd have turned on his heel and cleaved the Blackheart's head clean off his shoulder. He'd have proved that the poets write true, that the minstrels aren't bastards, that love ever conquers all. But though he'd not the strength to break the unholy spell of Nikita's blood, Aaron did have strength enough to hurl that blade away, sailing off into the ruins, glittering as it fell. And turning to Nikita, he spat,
You may have my heart, but not every part of it.
Nikita snarled, backhanded Aaron across the face with his one good arm. The blow was horrifying.
sending the lordling flying through the iron fence, crashing through another wall. But in taking his eyes off Baptiste, the black-hearted made his final mistake. Gabriel smiled, his grey eyes shining. Because sometimes love does conquer all. The blow crashed into the back of Nikita's skull, a mallet of pure silver steel, wielded by a man who fought only and always from his heart. The ancien's skull splintered. He staggered, whirling with a snarl. The wound was a terrible one, yet not enough to fill a tomb, and Nikita lifted his dripping hand, intent on burying Baptiste instead. But another hand reached out then, seizing hold of his ankle and crushing the bone in a grip of iron. Lachlan lay in the rubble where the Blackheart had left him, bloodied and torn, but yet unbroken. He smiled, red and sharp, holding his brother in place as Baptiste's second blow smashed Nikita's jaw clean off his face. Ancien flesh tore like paper. Nikita stumbled, raising his good hand to ward Baptiste away. But the black thumb was on him then, lost in roaring fury. The rage of a lover wronged, a husband betrayed, coupled with the strength of a thrall. Falling atop the stumbling Nikita and smashing that hammer down again, again, bone and brain pulping, blood and silver steel sizzling, the vampire shrieking, flailing, cursing. "He was mine before he was yours, bastard," Baptiste spat. And bringing the hammer down, he smote the black heart's head to ruin. Nikita's spine arched, his arm flailed, a bubbling scream ripped up and out of his ravaged throat. All the pain, all the rage, all the terror of an immortal staring at the end of his forever. And then he simply burst apart, Baptiste flinching, Lachlan hissing in triumph as Nikita was consumed, explosive, black and ashen, his remains whipped up into the hungry winds and scattered across the wreckage of the kingdom he tried so desperately to forge. Baptiste rose up from Nikita's remains, dark eyes aflame. "Some love is forever." Gabriel fell silent, running his fingers across his smile. It seemed even the historian was touched, lips curling soft as he wrote swift in his tome. But the end was rushing on now, and, caught in the spell of it, Selene spoke on. "Prince lunged at Lily," she said, flying like an arrow at the Contessa's throat. "For a moment, we wondered what had become of the lovesick puppy we'd seen following ever at her heels. But then we recalled the wolf had bitten Dior. Of course, of course. The ties that bound him broken by the Grail's holy blood." Lily clutched her ruined neck, stepping aside, lashing out as the beast passed and sending him into one of the great statues. And though the blow would have killed any ordinary wolf, Prince was back on his feet in a blinking, shaking off the water and leaping for the Contessa again. But though beast and monster now battled for her fate, Dior's eyes were fixed on Rain! The princess had tumbled from the Contessa's grip as the wolf struck, falling into the water. Dior's hand was still pinned to the statue by Lily's dagger, the blade wedged deep into the stone, her palm crushed against the hilt. But Rain wasn't moving, floating face down in the reeking brine. And rather than hang helpless and watch her drown, Dior took hold of her own wrist, set her feet against the stone, and pulled. She screamed at the agony, steel slicing flesh, pulped bone ripping apart. Blood spilled thick and bright down Dior's arm, her face twisted, tears welling in her eyes as she braced her feet apart and heaved again. Her hand tore as if damp parchment. Tendons stretched and snapped like wet rope. And finally, with one last scream, Dior ripped herself free, leaving three fingers behind as she crashed into the water. Prince slipped aside from the gravestone Lily hurled, leapt once more at the vampire's throat. Her neck was already a ruin, jaw hanging loose again, the heartless croaking a garbled command that the wolf ignored entirely. They crashed against the coffin in the tomb's heart, the Redeemer's statue crying silently above. Lily's hands closed about the beast's neck, her blood spilling over the angel at her back. Rain's lantern splashed into the water, plunging the tomb into near darkness with a boiling hiss. All was carved in silhouette now, the light from the tomb above the only illumination. The wolf was insane with rage, but the heartless was yet Divok, the blood of the untamed in her veins, her hands closing around the beast's maw. The wolf gurgled and growled, claws ripping and finally tearing her breastplate loose. But with a roar, Lily wrenched the great wolf's head sideways, snapping his neck clean. She tossed his body aside, rising up from the beast's ruins. Her hands and arms were painted in blood, the coffin behind her drenched with the same, hers and the wolf's both. Lily's flesh was scorched, face mauled, body torn, but still she stood unconquered. And with a snarl, she turned and stepped away from Prince's ruin, straight onto 3 feet of bloody steel. Lily stared down at the sword, buried hilt deep in her chest. Dior held the haft, gasping, blue eyes wide and locked on the heartless. The Grail dragged her blade free, stumbling back toward Rain, lying now against one of the broken statues. Dior's left hand was a mangled mess, fingers missing and dripping red, the same red smeared down the blade she'd just thrust through Lily's heart. The Contessa pressed one hand to her ruined breast, her flesh beginning to smoulder as her gargling whisper broke the still.
No, not like this.
And then she burst into flame. The scream torn from Lily's throat was an awful thing, a living thing, a black and twisted and wretched thing. She turned and spun as white and holy flame spewed from the wound, racing over her body like a brush fire on summer grass. Dior struck her again, the blade of the nine swords biting into ancien flesh, the fire on Lily's skin now so bright it was blinding. And as her dress became cinders, as her body withered and flaked away, Lily's scream rose high until it was all Dior could hear, until she was forced to close her eyes and block her ears and scream herself, until the remains collapsed into the water and that voice was silenced forever. Dior fell into the brine, gathering Rain now in her arms, tears spilling down her bloody cheeks. She daubed the princess's wounds in her blood, but Rain wasn't breathing. She wasn't breathing. Dior wailed her name, stroking her freckled cheek as she held that girl there in the darkness, sobs drowning out all the world around her.
Please, don't leave me, she begged.
Tears like rain, pattering on the princess's face.
Everyone leaves me.
She felt hands grab her then, a voice dim and distant beneath the thunder in her chest, the echoes of her sobs. And she screamed, lashing out, the jagged bones in the ruins of her hand cutting down his face, opening his cheek up to the bone.
It's me, he roared. Dior, God's sakes, it's me.
She fell still, eyes grown wide as that cry rang on the walls, breath catching in her chest, not daring to hope as a figure in bloody black wrapped her in his arms.
Gabriel.
I'm here, love. He breathed, squeezing her to his chest. I'm here.
And, trembling, she threw her arms around his neck, sobbing like a newborn child. Gabriel, too, was weeping with that girl at last in his arms, and though he'd have crushed her had he hugged her as close as he wished, she squeezed him tight as she could, the pair on their knees in the bloody water. Dior was bleeding, shaking, and Gabriel looked torn to see how badly she was hurt, how much she had given, how much he had cost her.
Oh, Dior, he whispered, taking her broken, bleeding hand. Oh, my poor girl.
You came, she whispered. I knew you would.
Phoebe barreled down the stairs now, eye at her back, blood blade raised as we looked for any sign of Lily, seeing only ashes. The flesh witch ran to Dior's side, sinking into the red water and throwing arms around Gabriel and her both, kissing the grail atop her head with bloody lips. Gabriel had torn his shirt,
wrapping Dior's wounded hand, holding her and Phoebe both tight. Pressing his lips to the Grail's brow, he gazed at the Redeemer's statue above, the hate in him bleeding out into that dark water as all his prayers were answered.
"Mercy," he breathed, voice shaking. "Mercy, my brother."
A cough rang out beside them, Dior shouting for joy as the princess Amair again groaned and slowly opened her eyes. Rain was drenched, blood and brine, but the Grail's holy gift had done its work. The girls fell into each other's arms, sobbing and holding on for dear life. Phoebe winced, peering at the wound Dior had torn in Gabriel's face, a long gash beneath his right eye, cutting downward and deep into his cheek. She kissed it with bloody lips, but he murmured that it would heal, that all would be well now, kneeling there in that crypt with his famille beside him. He looked at the surrounds, awestruck and bewildered. The broken gravestones, the bloodied angel, the marble tome, those five statues looming around the Redeemer's one. His eyes shone in the near darkness, red with blood, looking now to me.
"What is this place?" he whispered.
But I gave no reply, all my body tensing as I heard something moving in the water, there in the shadows ahead. Gabriel heard it too, snaking up from the brine, his flesh witch beside him and the ash drinker in his bloody hand. A shape limped from the shadows, breath coming heavy, pale fur dripping seawater and blood. His neck had been broken clean, we'd heard it true, but there he stood, one eye agleam in the darkness and fixed on the dusk dancer. "Sweet Mother Moons," Phoebe whispered. She took one step forward, bloodless and breathless and utterly bewildered.
"Connor!"